going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I missed it. It's like, wow, we actually got something going downhill, which could have opened up Steph Curry. I think the JK Steph Curry pick and roll can help them in this particular matchup.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco at Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. It's Spadoni, it's Shasky, it's the Morning Roast. We are rolling here on a thirsty Thursday here in the Bay. I am thirsty. I need some water after this segment because we've been fired up. We've been here for the people. Let's hear more from the people because Frank is in Chico, wants to talk about Warriors offense and Draymond Green. Frank, good morning. How we feeling, man?
Good morning, guys. First off, love you guys. Love the show. I think you guys are right in the energy of concentrating on being accountable. So let's just start with this. Offensively, we need to be better. We need Okay, we need to set our screens with a sense of urgency. We need to move and back cut without the ball. Now, with that said, and please let me finish, guys, I just want to say this. You open up the series, you're Ime Udoka, and you go on national television saying, yeah, we're going to foul, and you can't call every foul, okay? You blatantly push Podziemski down on the ground yesterday. It wasn't even a basketball play. Then a quarter later, you throw a towel at Pat Spencer, okay? You got Dylan Brooks on his own shot falling down doing a somersault and kicking Steph Curry, okay?
That was bad.
Okay, and all I'm asking you is this, and this isn't an excuse. We should beat this team. But what I'm asking you is this. If any one of those things that I just stated, not to mention the last where I don't care what anybody says, he ran through Jimmy Butler. If any one of those things happened, and it happened to be Draymond Green doing it, we wouldn't hear the end of it for another week. So all I'm saying is, right, wrong, or otherwise, just let these Warrior fans express their – because, you know, if Draymond did any one of these things, Houston Rockets fan as well as the NBA media would not let us hear the end of it for years. So if Draymond does any one of those things, you know we're going to hear
– he has a reputation and a tracker that's pretty – it's pretty long.
Frank, he was indefinitely suspended last year because of stuff like that. So that he has a track record. Amen Thompson, he's 19 years old.
Now, there are some videos.
Thanks, Frank.
Some videos circulating on Amen, but I think it's too early to make a determination on who he is at this point.
Top five as a rookie in the DPOY conversation.
Let me go.
Yes, you're going to be playing physical. If you're in the DPOY conversation, Joe, as a guard or whatever position you want to call him, like, yeah, you're going to be physical.
But I would draw the distinction here. Any one of those things, I would file under kind of like shenanigans from the Rockets, not dirty. Shenanigans.
I want to be.
Now, Dylan Brooks, had Dylan Brooks been the one doing the Amen Thompson play, I do think we all look at it a little different.
No.
I will grant him that.
Because he has a track record.
Exactly.
Amen Thompson does not have the track record for me yet.
And I watched Dylan do some Yes, exactly.
As a Grizzly to Gary Payton II.
No, in this game. And in the first quarter leading up to that play.
And I want to reiterate what Frank was saying, too. He's like, let Warriors fans be. I'm not saying Warriors fans can't be upset about the physicality. I'm telling you.
I haven't yelled at anyone.
No. I'm telling you the head coach and the players said that this game was less physical than game one.
His point is well taken, though, in that there were a lot of other, like, there's a lot of extra stuff going on. There is.
But that's part of the Rockets' game plan,
no
is it not?
No doubt.
They're trying to get under
no
the
doubt.
Warriors' skin, and I thought they kind of...
No doubt.
I don't want to say punked. That's too strong a word, but they were more aggressive yesterday, and they were a greater force
there
yesterday.
Are certain players in sports, you know, like, I'm thinking of a guy like Vontaze Burfict. If I just say that name, why are you laughing?
Because there's so much baked into Vontaze Burfict. I remember his last play in the NFL.
Yeah.
It was an Oakland Raider.
Against
the Indianapolis Colts. His last game is at Lucas Oil Stadium.
He was
absolutely eviscerated. I think it might have been T.Y. Hilton.
Is that not part of his game?
Yes.
Okay.
He would have been great in the 70s.
All right.
And Ray Maluga. Oh, they were awesome together in Cincinnati.
Kevin Gogan.
Yeah.
Do you know who Kevin Gogan is?
Yes.
Went Sacred Heart guy here in San Francisco. One of the dirtiest players in the NFL.
Who's my guy for the Lions? He had the red contacts. He was dirty as hell. Vanden Bosch.
Yeah,
I remember him.
There's a lot of guys. If I think of an Ime Udoka, Dylan Brooks, Steven Adams.
Dominican Sue, there's another one. Yeah.
Steven Adams squad. Like, I kind of know what I'm going up against, right? And then, at the same time, it's a Draymond Green Warrior team. So I also have to take a step back and realize, like, guys, I've looked the other way on a lot of things Draymond's done. So I'd be a little hypocritical if I was out here crying and talking about all the spilt milk when we're the ones spilling enough of our own milk in our own house.
Hopefully it's just whole milk, though, right, as we've established. Draymond Green talking about, again, how much more physical this game was to game one.
Thought it was a little less physical than game one.
And Stephen Curry agreed to it.
Actually, I might agree with that. There's just a couple, like, crashes they happened out there. We know what their MO is and what they're trying to do. Use their size, their athleticism, their size advantage at times to try to bully us. And, you know, we had up a pretty good fight both games. I think we just let Jalen get going a little bit, and he got free to space. There's no reason he should get up 18 threes. Like, we got to figure out a way to control where he is on the floor. Is that those are all momentum threes that kind of kept the separation, so. Yeah, probably, I mean, as physical as game one, but just a different style because we let him get loose.
I think Jalen Green was excellent, but the other guys were good too, and I thought he did a great job facilitating for the other guys, whether it's Amen Thompson, Tari Eason. We haven't even talked about it. I thought Tari Eason was really good yesterday.
He was. He did some knuckleheaded things, throwing the towel.
Well, he is a knucklehead.
Yeah. Like, well, remember, he was the dude that Warriors come out to play.
He wore the
that
shirt.
Was him last year.
Yes.
Yeah, he was going out, and then Draymond obviously responded with the Rockets coming out to play. Where's my? I just need to play it just for fun.
The Rockets coming out to play.
They came to play yesterday, and give them credit. I thought the Rockets overall, like, obviously Jimmy Butler, the game would have looked different, but the Rockets were the better team yesterday, like, top to bottom. I thought they were the better, and they were a more aggressive team early on. They came out with a more of sense of urgency, knowing they needed to win that one.
What game did I told you yesterday? What did I say?
What did you tell me? Say a lot of things, Joe.
What did I say about yesterday's game? I go, guys, this is going to be super physical.
You did.
And you're going to have to keep your composure.
And I thought Draymond did for the most part.
I agree.
Yes.
But did I not know? If I knew going in it was going to be physical, you don't think the Warriors knew it was going to be physical?
Well, they did.
We were asked about physicality after the first game,
and
where Steve Kerr laughed at Tim Kawakami, basically, for suggesting it.
Ray is in South SF, and he says the Warriors are going to be just fine. Everyone relax.
I'm kind of with him.
Good morning, Ray. How are we feeling, man?
We're feeling good, man. Thank you. How are you guys doing?
Swell. What you got?
I'm hungry.
I'm just saying, man, everybody seems a little worried, a little concerned. I'm just going to say that, straight up, you know, Warriors is the champion caliber team still. You know, they got some experience there. They've been here before. They've experienced adversity. They're going to get through it. They're going to make their adjustments they need to make, and they're going to get back in the game. You know, they talk about the refs a lot. I've refed myself a few years. Refs not easy, man. You get heat no matter which way you call it, which way you blow the whistle. But in the beginning, you got to set the tone as a ref. You set the tone as the game and as a player, you know right then how the game's going to get called up for the rest of the game. So,
let me defend the refs.
Thanks, Ray.
Dylan had two early fouls before this Butler thing.
Yep.
Amen Thompson had two fouls and then picked up his third on that play.
Yep.
Right? So Şengün had a foul. They were in the bonus.
Yeah. They were.
They were. The Warriors were already in the bonus. I think the referees were actually calling a good game leading up to that point, as well as you could have. Like, so I think that's one thing that
I did Warrior think the fans tech need real, the tech real quick on Draymond was soft as hell.
No,
on
I
Shang-Gun,
agree.
Like, come on.
I agree. I agree. But I want to say leading up to the Jimmy Butler play, again, Dylan had two fouls. Amen had to pick up his third on that one. Shang-Gun had one already. They were in the bonus.
They were. Ryan's in South San Francisco, wants to join in the conversation. 888-957-9570. What's up, Ryan? What you got, man?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Certainly can.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk. So Steve Kerr really talked about lineups that don't work out, you know, Kuminga and Jimmy Butler. After watching last night, and due to Pajemski being sick and Jimmy Butler being out, but we had to see Post and Buddy Hield play defense together on the same team. I just think you can't have those two be on the same floor at the same time. Buddy Hield really, I like Buddy Hield as a player, but he really struggles to just stay with these quicker guards like Van Fleet and Jalen Green. And even when we're playing that 1-3-1 zone, he just digs like way too far into the paint and he leaves Jalen Green open for that three. I think Post works. Just because of what he gives you on the offensive end, but his defense is also pretty lackluster. And I get that he's a rookie, but, you know, he's still a four-year college guy. I would expect a little bit more, especially he's a seven-footer. Like, we really need him to grab those rebounds.
So, I think he was way better than Looney yesterday. What do you think?
I feel like we didn't get to see Looney play that much, if I'm being honest.
What?
I feel like
13 minutes for Kevon Looney yesterday.
I saw a Looney Gee Buddy Pods Moody lineup. Again, I'll read that off to you again. Looney, Gee,
Thanks,
Buddy,
Ryan.
Pods,
We're
Moody.
Up against it.
And then they followed that up with Kuminga, Buddy, Pat Spencer, Dre, and Quinn Post. I can't believe that lineup.
All right. So Shang-Gun was the dominant scorer in game one. Jalen Green beat them in game two. Did you like that defensive strategy from last night? Or should they have focused more on Green, a little bit less on Shang-Gun last night? Focus more on the hot hand, more double teams on a Jalen Green.
I thought that they did a great job getting the matchups they were looking for. Ime had, I wrote it down here. First play of the game, Jalen Green, high pick and roll. Shang-Gun gets the screen to initiate the switch so he can get the guy he wants. Goes off dribble, bang, perfect pass, setting up Amen Thompson.
Mm.
They were crashing hard in the paint, and Draymond was the guy falling asleep off ball who was guarding Amen Thompson. They actually started this game with Butler on Shang-Gun. That's what they were doing, okay? Then, let's go. Switch again, top of the key. Jalen Green, back pedal, three. Yeah. Right off the rip.
Yep.
Then he goes to the rim again on a high pick and roll. Dunk. So I think he just had them in a blender all game. He had a great game. Sometimes that happens.
We got one more segment to go here. Wow, this show has flown by. 888-957-9570. Rockets 109, Warriors 94. This series is tied at one game apiece, heading back to the Bay on Saturday's Game 3. But in the meantime, what's going on with Jimmy Butler? MRI scheduled today, and if the Warriors have to miss Jimmy Butler for any amount of games, your confidence level in this series, has it shifted exponentially given the injury? 888-957-9570 is the number. We got Mike, we got BPA, we got Oscar on the other side. It's Spadoni at Chasky. Come on back. It's going to be brought to you by Cache Creek Casino Resort. The pelvis contusion. The x-ray was negative, according to a source with Tim Kawakami of the SF Standard. MRI today, though, it's going to reveal how deep that bruise is, if there's any other damage that is lingering, and his status for Game 3 is up in the air as of right now. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. We went from 24 hours ago being greedy about winning this game and going up 2-0, then coming back home. Now you're tied 1-1 and potentially no Jimmy Butler for Game 3.
I mean, let's just, you know, I don't want to get too ahead of myself. You lose on Saturday, and then it's hit the Andre Nikitina situation critical.
So that quickly?
100%.
Really?
It's situation critical.
I still don't. Even if they get down 2-1 on Saturday, I don't know if I trust this Rockets team to have four games good enough offensively for them to win against
the
Warriors.
One thing has been established in this Rocket-Warrior matchup this year, no matter what the variations of lineups are, they have stymied the offense for the most part of the Warriors.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They have not been able to score over 100.
So that's why, to me, I have got to get more bucket getters out on the floor. And I'm looking at a couple of guys that can play in small spurts, not with each other. Buddy Hield, GP2, and Looney. And I'm not trying to pick on them. What I'm saying is that they've got to play more offensively minded combinations. And if Buddy Hield is going to play as many minutes as he's played over the last four or five games, and he's not going to score, and he's not going to set up for others, and he's not going to play defense, well, then he needs to not play.
888-957-9570. A lot of layers to this conversation as we got about 30 minutes to go until Fast Five. So we want to hear from you. Same number to call or text, 888-957-9570. And the physicality was a big takeaway from yesterday's game, too. Do you think the refs allowed that game to be too physical, Dub Nation? The players say it wasn't, but what do you feel heading after that game, 888-957-9570?
Let's establish that before the Jimmy Butler, you know, injury, Dylan had two fouls, Amen had two fouls, plus that was going to be the third, and Şengün had one. They were in the bonus.
Well, DeMarcus Cousins, former Warrior and current analyst for FanDuel Sports, he thought it was too physical.
Boogie, I want to talk about physicality because there are Warriors fans out there. They don't love this for their team. It's been very physical, but I think those of us watching are like, this is awesome to see. Do they have a point? Are the Rockets too physical? What have you seen?
It is getting to a point where I think the refs are letting too much go. And obviously as a fan, as a physical player myself, I enjoy this type of basketball. I think this is, you know, the foundation of basketball. I think this has always been a part of. I think in the past, you know, 10, 15, possibly 20 years, we've kind of shied away from the physicality of basketball. But with all that being said, it was some plays within the game that I thought, you know, the refs let go a little too much.
Okay. I'll take DeMarcus Cousins' word on this. I always feel that big, thicker centers and power forwards who play with their back to the basket never got enough whistles to the contact that was allowed against them. It was almost like, oh, well, you're big, so, you know, smaller guys are able to be way more physical than you. Shaq is a great example
for me.
I never thought Shaq got enough calls.
Yeah, and Shaq will tell you that, too. He's like, dude, people were allowed to punch me because I was so big and it didn't look like I was being hurt. Like, it was ridiculous, and I agree with that.
It's we do this like almost reverse psychology, like, well, you're big, you should be able to take it.
Right.
Right? And I've never kind of subscribed to that. A foul's a foul.
Exactly.
Whether you're skinny, whether you're big, whether you're thick. So I do believe a lot of it, like a guy like DeMarcus Cousins, who was a big physical dude, I just think in his head, he never thought he got enough calls. And well, I kind of agree with him.
Well, Mike in Berkeley says game three is going to be even more physical. Mike, good morning. You're on with Spadoni and Chasky. What's up, man?
Hey, Joe and Joe. How's it going?
It's going great.
I think they smell blood in the water, and I think it's a system that's working for them. The more physical they get, the better off they are.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a solution. It could be the play of the series, and it could be the play of the rest of the playoffs. I think the first time that they get chippy with Steph, I think the person that needs to come flying in and put his chest out is Moses Moody. And if he does that and stands up and even get a technical. Moses Moody getting a technical would be the best thing that could ever happen for this team. And I think that would propel the rest of the team into getting physical right back. I think it would be a huge lift for this team. What do you guys think?
That's Mike in Berkeley. Go and get a technical. I thought Steve Kerr was going to do that early in the first half. He was heated. He was on off the refs. He was pissed off because Gary Payton clearly got fouled and out shoved. They didn't call it. So he was heated. He was animated. Didn't get the tech. But I like sending a message like that. Does it have to be from Moses Moody? Like, does it have to be from, does it matter who? Like, at this point, I really don't think a technical is going to do much for this team. Like, you heard it from the players there. If anything, yesterday's game, you would have been fired up for the Jimmy Butler foul or the non-call, I guess, on Jimmy Butler from Amen Thompson. But they even looked and they even said, yeah, it wasn't dirty. So I don't know.
Is getting a technical going to fire you up to box out better? Is getting a technical
that's kind of where I'm at.
Is like, getting a technical going to help you stay in front of Jalen Green?
Yeah.
Not fall asleep off ball when a guy is cutting from the dunker spot to the post? Is, you know, that going to stop? You know, is a technical going to fire them up to not throw the ball into the second row on the first possession of the game?
Right.
Is that going to fire them up to actually square up to the hoop, Draymond Green, at the top of the key and shoot. I hear him on, like, matching the intensity, and there's something to be said for that. There's no doubt. You can't play passive against this team. It's a requirement to match and meet their intensity, especially the way Ime Udoka on these timeouts is, like, all over the floor. I mean, he wants to chest someone so bad. He's a lunatic.
I was watching. It's on my screen right now where Fred VanVleet and Draymond are kind of going back and forth and jawing at each other. And Ime Udoka just like lurking right behind Draymond and keeping his eyes on him as he goes past him. Like, he wants the smoke. He does. And going back to the technical foul thing for the Warriors, is that playing right into the Rockets' hands? That's what they want. They want you to get upset. Well, they want you to do the technicals. They want to do all that stuff.
And when you got the flagrant or whatever, you missed the free throw, Draymond. You missed one of the free throws. Like, there's little things that the Warriors need to worry about, and it's called executing and the details and knowing the personnel, not closing out on a non-shooter and Amen Thompson, Draymond Green, who pump fakes and goes right by you for a dunk. Like, that's how the Warriors are going to win this series, playing smarter, not playing more. I mean, yes, match their intensity and be some level of physical. I don't think a technical is making or breaking them.
Speaking of details and attention to detail, that's how I describe Brian and Palo Alto. Brian, good morning. How are we feeling about that loss? Your boy JK off the bench, 26 minutes.
Good for him. I think, I mean, look, let's be honest, right? If Jimmy's out for even one game, I think the series is over, personally. They're really not a functional offensive team without Jimmy Butler. I mean, obviously you traded Wiggins and all that other stuff, right? And so, like, you know, you're a worse team than you were when you were a 500 team playing against, you know, pretty good Rockets team. So, yeah, I think he cannot miss one game. And, you know, because they'll lose game three, I think, without him. And then the momentum of the series is clearly back on Houston's side. I mean, we had one guy that could score last night, right? Out of five guys on the court.
Crazy, right?
If Steph was on the court. One guy that could score. But basically, my game three is going to be, if there's any skin left on Guy Santos' elbows after that game, I want his butt shipped back to wherever, right? Like, they're going to have to be scrappy on the floor, every loose ball, because, you know, they certainly have been not the guy. They certainly have lost the 50-50 balls so far in the series. And they can't be that team anymore. They're not good enough, especially without Jimmy. Pods has to bounce back and play great. Right? Has to.
The Looney Guy Buddy Pods Moody lineup didn't look offensive to you?
It's over. Like, and also calls, you know, like, come on, Kerr, right? Looney is done.
That's it.
Like,
you.
But I'd give TJD some run, man. Give somebody that could jump.
Thank you.
Maybe that has some energy. And if TJD dives for every loose ball, I don't want to see Looney again. That's my take. Have a great day, guys.
Brian in Palo Alto. He's gone.
I wanted to give him a hug.
The caption said, "I love Jonathan Kuminga," with like 10 exclamation points. I knew that was Sam trolling. But, yeah, but again, I don't think they lose game three without Jimmy and the series is over. I'm not willing to go that far.
I think a lot of fans feel that way.
I don't, though. Okay. I don't. I feel like the Rockets still, again, I know they had an offensive output. They scored 109 points because 38 points was from Jalen Green, all right? He's not doing that every single game. Now, Alperen Şengün, he's not going to get 17 points like that again. Maybe he'll go over 20. And again, the role players played well for the Houston Rockets. There's going to be, at one point, you'd think, Fred VanVleet's going to have to shoot something well. I mean, good God, that guy's been awful.
You're dancing around it. You're dancing around it. Here's where we've come. And this is the irony. Everybody that wants to destroy this kid at every turn. Whether Jimmy comes back or not, I think it's pretty clear right now. They're not winning this series unless they get contributions from Jonathan Kuminga.
Whoa!
No, I don't know. No. This isn't a hot take. Come on, we've seen it. Like, some of these other guys aren't stepping up right now. They're not able to score around the rim and match the athleticism of what the Rockets bring to the table.
24 hours ago, you told me that JK might not even sniff this series.
But this is how playoff series work, right? Josh Giddey, as I've brought up 50 times, was a key component to what helped OKC win a ton of games in the regular season. They got into a series. People are adjusting. They take away what you can and can't do well. And right now, there are other players on this team that are so defunct offensively, they're almost unplayable. And in a series where you're searching for offense, like you're looking for water in the desert, That's what this Warrior team is looking for right now. Jonathan Kuminga has some elements and traits that can help them score some buckets, and then I think brings things to the table on defense. Look, this is where we're come. And if you're not ready to embrace it, you're probably going to get bowed out here because you do need him. Whether Jimmy comes back or not, he's not playing 44 minutes a game. You're going to need JK. He can bring things to the table here. I'm not saying he's the end-all, be-all. I'm saying if you're asking for Buddy or GP2 or Looney to give you that punch, it's not coming. That 15-point game is not coming from those guys. JK can give it to you.
Speaking of Jonathan Kuminga, Steve Kerr was on our airways a few days ago with Willard and Dibbs talking about Kuminga and seizing an opportunity. And you were saying that yesterday, right? Seize your moment, you kept saying. Shout out Ernesto de la Cruz. Steve Kerr on with Willard and Dibbs talking about Kuminga staying ready, and he's been great on the bench.
Jonathan has been fantastic. I mean, his attitude, his energy on the bench, cheering guys on, staying ready. He's a great, great young guy. And, you know, this has been tough on him, but he is doing exactly what he should be doing, which is staying ready because, you know, as I've told him and our coaches have told him, things can change in a heartbeat in the NBA, and he's got to just be ready for when his time comes, and that's exactly what he's doing. So he's staying ready, and I would be surprised if at some point, I mean, you know, his time doesn't come because I've just seen this too many times. But when you're in a good groove, you know, you kind of keep doing what you're doing, and then you adjust as you go.
So he gets 26 minutes off the bench yesterday, 4-12 shooting overall, 11 points, couple of assists. Got a block in there. That was nice and impressive. So it was a mixed bag from JK yesterday. And here's Stephen Curry talking about Kuminga, knowing that he would be ready to play when called upon.
I thought he played aggressive. I know he probably wants to play better and, you know, knock the rust off. But as soon as Jimmy went down, I actually saw him on the bench and gave him a little love and knew he was going to get his number called pretty quickly. And that is the nature of this league. We talked about it all the time. It's just hard to know and predict when it's going to be. But for him to come out and play with energy and aggressive, you know, with aggressiveness and just understand he can impact the game and he's going to have a huge part in what we do. I think whether Jimmy's out there or not, it feels like it could swing a different way. And so that's the challenge. And it's always been for him to see the pictures, understand the intensity that's out there, try to be in the right spots defensively. And then when he has opportunities to, you know, be aggressive on the offensive end, take him. We trust him when he has the ball in his hands and however many minutes he's out there, be ready to play.
Now, you know, life grants you opportunities to put your foot in the door as that door slowly opens up. Now is the opportunity of Jonathan Kuminga to seize the moment.
Yep.
Whether Jimmy comes back or not, we all agree, he's not going 40-something minutes a game.
No.
All right? So JK will get that chance. You know, Gui Santos is not going to get the long run at the three for stretches the way JK will. And now it's up to him. There's no excuses. And I think he's up for the task. I really do. I know a lot of people are going to sleep on him. They're going to short him as a stock. And they're going to say what he can and can't do and blah, blah, blah. Like, can we just all pull for him? I don't know why Warrior fans are, like, rooting for one guy against another guy.
Root for the team, right?
It's like, my God, like, don't you want the Warriors to advance? We're going to need all hands on deck here.
You know what it comes down to. People want to be right. They want to pat themselves on the back.
You know
I'm just telling you. That's what they want.
I just want my team to win.
I know you do.
I want my team to win.
In game three, it's not quite a must win, but according to Brian Palo Alto, he said if they lose game three, the series is over. How many fans are feeling like that?
Look, there's a guy.
That's insane to me. I don't think it's over if you lose game three.
There's a guy on this team. There's a guy on this team named Draymond Green who would have never have gotten the opportunity that he was given without a David Lee injury.
Shocked you talking to me.
You know, and he ran with it. Why do we have to alienate individual players on who played well and this guy sucks and that guy? I want Moody to ball out. I want JK to ball out. I want Potts to ball out. I want all these guys to ball out. I just want to win this series and move on. And then in the next series, if Moody doesn't fit or JK doesn't fit or whatever, we'll go with that matchup. It might be Looney in the next round who really fits and for whatever reason, Quint Post doesn't. Like, whatever gives you your best chance to win. I'm pulling for these guys.
Oscar Fresno, he's been hanging on tight. Oscar, appreciate your patience. What you got, man?
Hey, what's up, Joe Shasky? What's up, Joe Spadoni?
Let's go.
What's up, dog?
Hey, guys, I'm not a Warrior fan. I don't love or hate the Warriors, so I just love watching basketball. That foul on Thompson, that was not a foul. If you take a look at the play, he kind of just gets tripped up, And Draymond kind of gives him like a small little shove that kind of like he had his momentum going forward and kind of like drove him that way. I don't think it was dirty at all. But if Butler don't play, you guys are in trouble. You guys will be in trouble. He's kind of like the one, other than Draymond, that brings the physicality you guys need. And he's the one that sets up all the other players. Because even if he comes back, I don't think he's going to be able to be as physical as he likes to be when he drives up on those shots. So don't be surprised if he does come back. Houston's going to kind of lay off on him and make him shoot instead of driving up, because he's not going to be 100%. If he comes back, he's going to be maybe less at 75 or less than that. So Steph Curry's going to have to be a little bit more aggressive. And I agree. Quinn Post needs to play more because he can open up spacing for you guys. And Looney's too slow. He doesn't
Who's
have
your
no
team?
Hop in him. And you know what? I don't have a team. I grew up being a Allen Iverson fan.
Uh-huh.
So that was my team. I followed him going everywhere he went. And after that, it's just like, I just like watching basketball.
I like that.
I appreciate your level of attention. He's Rob Lowe at the Niners game with the NFL hat.
The NBA
but he's wearing
logo.
The NBA.
He's got the Jerry West logo hat.
That's right. I'm only a fan of the league. The Shield. That's who I defend.
I just hope both teams have fun.
Right? Oh, God.
Those are the worst people.
I hate that. Just any Super Bowl, right? It's like, oh, well, get there. They're both making really good plays. Get the hell out of my house. I don't need to hear that.
Well, this year was
at least they made the game.
No. I don't like that.
Who is that character that you just became, Sam Lubman?
I don't know. There's just a bunch of random fans out there with random voices.
One of your aunts or something
I'm
like
Lubman.
That?
I'm going to be at Freeman's and Pikes this Saturday with Mark Grant.
Oh, you know what? That was my Filmo mic. At least they made the game. There you go.
Oh, that's pretty good. Thomas is in Monterey. Shout out to the 831. I still got my 831 area code. What's up, Thomas? What you got, man?
Hey guys. Just some thoughts on the game and the series. Several things. Unfortunately, shooters go through cold spells, right? And the timing couldn't be worse. Moody was hitting threes at a really good clip weeks ago. He's gone very cold in the last, couple weeks.
Basically 17
Brandon
games.
Podemski's, yep. And Podemski, same thing, not hitting threes at the same level. Mm-hmm. Last night I saw, in the series, Moody, I see hesitation. There's times that he had a window. You got a short window before that defender comes out to shoot that three or that open shot. And that hesitation, then the defender's on top of him, and then you're making a tough pass contested. Some of those get tipped, and it's a turnover. So that happened a number of times with Moody last night and Buddy Hield. Quick thing on Buddy Hield. Oh, my gosh. I just read he shot 51% from threes first 8 games of the season. 35% the next 74 games of the regular season.
Oh, no.
He's been atrocious. Yes. He's been atrocious lately. I look at Pat Spencer and his impact on the game in the minutes that he had. My buddies and I grew up Warrior fans 30-plus years. We're like, give Kuminga – how does he not get 10, 12, 15 minutes, see how he does, especially with Buddy Hield's minutes. He's bigger, he's longer, more athletic. They're getting killed on the boards. And Kuminga's rusty, man. He was killing it, had playing the best basketball of his career before he got injured. And he was averaging almost 20 points a game for a stretch right before his injury. And he looked like he was turning the corner. And so he's so rusty. And then Steve Kerr just has, man, it's 4 years they've tried, to develop this guy. They didn't do a good job. I think he hasn't gotten the playing time over these years that he should have, even Moses Moody last year. But anyway, those are some thoughts there. And then on physicality, there's a difference. Physicality in the playoffs, I'm good with that. A lot of NBA fans are. But what's happening with Steph Curry is blatant fouls from teams across the league. Hitting him, holding him, grabbing him, right? And those are fouls. And that affects, his game and being able to get the pass or the shot off. And so many blatant ones are missed. So I think there's a difference of physicalities and blatant fouls that aren't called.
Look, we spent a lot of time this morning talking about referees, fouls, role players. The two top dogs in the first quarter, Curry and Draymond Green, had how many turnovers?
A lot. They finished with 11 total.
I think they had 4 or 5, just the two of them, before
I'll
the Butler.
I'll tell you exactly real quick.
Before the there was the Curry left-handed pass out of bounds on the first possession into the first row. The Curry travel. We haven't even talked. Curry just
He just traveled.
Steph had three turnovers in the first quarter.
Go.
Draymond Green had one.
I thought he had three.
They had five total. Moses Moody also had one.
So then I guess the Buddy Hield one must have came in the second quarter from Draymond Green. They were bad, predictable. And the matchup is simple. Like when Dre has Fred VanVleet on him, he's got to square up to the hoop. Part of their offensive constipation.
Not just him. Quinn Post, dude. You're a foot taller than Fred.
But you know what?
Shoot over him.
Quinn played better as the game went on.
He did. No, I'm just saying that we talked about it yesterday.
Yes.
Attack Fred VanVleet.
But he's the rookie. Draymond is the Hall of Famer, right? Like, Dre's going to play 40 minutes, 35 minutes. Like, I hear everyone. Role players are going to factor into this. There's no doubt about it, especially with the Jimmy Butler injury.
And definitely at home, too.
But your two top dogs have got to play like it. And I told you guys going into this matchup, this is not a good defensive matchup for Draymond. They tried to hide Draymond off Şengün yesterday in the first quarter. He was guarding Amen Thompson three separate times. He let him cut to the basket unabated because he's over-helping on a Jalen Green penetration. Right? So it's never an individual. It's, a five-man defensive unit. There's a shell. You have to help the helper and all those things. But I'm telling you, man, right now, that they've got some deep issues with their starting lineup right now. And if Pods isn't scoring, to his point, it's making things really congested because Dre's not a shooter. They need Moses Moody's offense. They need Jonathan Kuminga's offense. They need Quinn Post's offense.
Well, and Draymond Green talked about it after the game, talking about that game plan potentially shifting after the events that took place yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
Sure, we'll have to figure that out. It's no easy task in replacing Jimmy. Obviously, we all know what he's meant to this team since he's been here. We've kind of tailored our offense a bit around him, so that will have to change a bit, but we'll see. He's tough. We got a couple days off, so we'll take it day by day and see where we get.
Take it day by day, and again, we're awaiting the MRI results at some point today with one Jimmy Butler III.
If Jimmy is out, I'm planting my flag here. I'm telling you what I would do.
Your Cooper flag?
If Jimmy's out for game three, which everyone's going to feel, oh my God, you have no chance. I'm starting Steph.
No, you have a chance. You can win this game without Jimmy. You absolutely can. You've beaten this Rockets team without Jimmy in the past. I know he had Andrew Wiggins, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I'm going to start this game with Steph, Moody, Kuminga, Draymond, and Quinn Post. That's the starting lineup I roll with. I need to get off to a good start. I absolutely need to have a good offensive flow. They've had stretches where the offenses look good, but in both games, they've come out and been clunky that first 6 minutes. I would have Pods come off the bench because then he can play some of the non-Curry minutes as a facilitator. Your point guard is easy. It's Draymond. Draymond plays point guard with that first unit. And with the stretched floor of Quinton Post and Moses Moody and Steph Curry, I believe you will open the floor up for Jonathan Kuminga on some of the downhill stuff and put him in the dunker spot. That would be, if Jimmy is out, that's my starting lineup. And I think it would be good.
Michael in San Mateo wants to talk about that. 888-957-9570. Good morning, Michael. What you got on last night's game and the Warriors potentially playing without Jimmy Butler going forward?
Oh, hey, guys. First-time caller. I am a Warriors fan. After we got Jimmy Butler, we became pretty much first in every category. And we know how the Warriors are without Jimmy Butler. Almost last, not last, but very bottom in a lot of categories, and that's a large sample size. So that much we know. Hopefully Jimmy can play, but Ime Udoka made it pretty clear what their strategy was. The whole playing physical thing.
Yep. Later. See ya. Can't say that.
They're going to foul everybody.
The bleep out of them.
Yeah.
It happens. You know what? You got to say it. Well, that's why we're locked in right there. But I hear them.
Another lineup that I would try. Let's see if Jimmy does play, but he's compromised to some level. Steph, I'm telling you, these are my lineups. People are going to roll their eyes. Steph, Moody, Butler. This is the starting line. We need to get off to a good start. Draymond. And Quinton Post.
Okay.
And I know they don't like that. They like going with Pajemski, and I understand why. I'm telling you that other guy's got to be a stretch shooter. And
you're going to rely on Draymond as a facilitator that much?
Well, Jimmy's also a point guard.
Okay.
So, like, when Jimmy and Butler are out there, they're de facto point guards.
Yeah, no, for sure, Jimmy. I hear you on that.
They're both de facto point guards. I don't think you need Pods. I want Pods helping that second unit flow a little better. And then he might be the first guy into the game 4 or 5 minutes in.
Quinn Post, we played this earlier, but Quinn Post was asked about what the offense can do to get going, and he was just exhausted by the question.
What will it take to get the offense going how you guys need it to go?
We just can't turn the ball over. We got to find a rhythm, right? In game one, we had Jimmy. Today, we didn't, so that kind of disturbed our pace. We got sped up a little bit, but we'll be fine. We'll find a way to, you know, settle us down, get good shots. We'll be fine.
So, like, their offense right now has been stagnant in a variety of lineups because you're playing a lot of non-shooters who are also cold, to that caller's point earlier.
Right.
He is right. They went back to it at the end of game one, and it did work. But it hasn't been as productive, which is their Steph, Moody, Pods, Butler, Draymond lineup, okay? Your normal starters and closers. But in this matchup, Şengün is destroying them.
He is. He's a problem. So he's a double-double machine against them.
I don't, like, if you're not going to exploit that with spacing, and if Moody cannot exploit that because he's been the guy guarding Moody on offense,
right,
and you're not defending him, and you're not at the point of attack, you know, stopping Jalen Green. I don't think Moody on Jalen Green's a great matchup right now. I don't like Butler, especially with a butt injury, a tailbone injury, guarding Jalen Green. So I'm either going to have to get a floor spacer offensively in Quinton Post out in that starting lineup, or I'm going to have to get JK into that starting lineup. I don't even like GP2 on Jalen Green. I like JK on Jalen Green. JK knows him from the G League. Like, they played together on that Unite team. He actually looked a lot better. Look at the highlights of Jalen Green. ESPN posted a 3-minute package of all Jalen Green shots. He was ISOing against bigs, or he was, you know, going by GP2, going by Pods, going by Steph Curry. JK and him, he hit one bucket on him. I thought JK did a good job on him.
Relative to
the others.
Let's ride a tat-tat at the end of these calls before we get to Fast Five. Let's go to Bobby in Los Altos. Bobby, what's up, man? You're on the Morning Roast.
Hey, good morning. So many thoughts. First of all, I don't want to derail my point, but Joe, I don't know who, Shasky, I should say, who hurt you, but it's the playoffs. No one's rooting for any player to play bad. Maybe in the regular season you want to feel like you're smart, but everybody wants every player to ball out and do great. So I really don't subscribe to that mentality you think that fans have. But here's my main point.
I hear from it all day. That's all. That's like it's. I hear it on every platform. We get calls all the time.
It's the playoffs.
It feels like people are rooting for and against certain players. It's wild.
It's the playoffs, man. Regular season maybe,
you.
But playoffs.
I agree with you, but continue.
Okay, so here's the main thing. I know I guess I'm up against it, as they say. I'll just say this. I don't really understand. Well, first of all, if Jimmy can't play the next two games, 3 and 4, we're cooked. I mean, maybe if he's out game 3, we can survive this series. But if he's out 3 and 4, we're done. But the second half, it created a lot of bad blood. And from a NBA fan standpoint, I think it's probably going to be a very fun series to watch. From a Warriors fan standpoint, I hated how much time was spent reviewing technical fouls. Mm. It's gotten too physical. The fact that Draymond and Curry would want to say, and you guys have played it so many times, hey, this game wasn't as physical as, you know, whatever. I think that's ridiculous. They need to be lobbying, and Curry needs to be lobbying about how bad the officiating is as it relates to, you know, how much the Rockets are getting away with. And whether it's true or untrue, you need to put that in their minds, because you cannot have the refs be comfortable with the way the second half went yesterday. They need to let them know, look, we really don't like the way this game is being officiated, because we need to have a faster whistle, especially on Steph. And we're at home. Our role players are going to play better at home. But my God, the
yeah, that word.
Yeah,
I would save that word for it's a. It's fine.
Yeah. Don't even address
it's a very,
that. When it comes to the foul, the total foul call is pretty even. The Warriors had one more foul called against them than the Houston Rockets. And obviously, there's time and place for all the fouls. What happens? This, but that, and the other.
There was no,
the
like,
free throws were pretty close. It was 18 free throw attempts for the Warriors, 20 for the Houston Rockets.
We can argue about fouls, but I think that takes the pressure off of execution. That takes the pressure off of the Warriors getting physically outworked on the glass, or, you know, in transition, or the loose handle and the poor passes that were predictable.
You don't think that Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and Steve Kerr know about physical, like
it's been 12
series?
Years.
They've been doing this thing for a long time. If they thought it was egregious, they'd say something. You know what's not egregious? Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Oh, man. What a show. Blue Buy. We got the NFL draft tonight, guys. Come on. Where's my little jingle? It's going to be all right. Come on. We got Mel Kiper. We got, you know, Daniel Jeremiah. We got... There we go. And with the 11th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the 49ers are selecting Shedeur Sanders, quarterback. Well, I'm just kidding. But it would be something.
I just
threw an absolute curveball to him that he whiffed on. That was an Ephus pitch to you, Joe. Are you all right? You okay?
I can't wait to get these MRI results. I mean,
is it the meeting that we have in about 5 minutes?
Well, that too.
The
common theme that I hear from people, and I'm not complaining. This is the greatest job in the world. I'm so blessed. I'm so fortunate, so lucky. Trust me. I every day I wake up happy to go to work. I mean that. Even when I'm not feeling well.
Hey, I got a lot of love for you too, as you know.
I was up really late last night rewatching this game. I woke up really early to rewatch this game, which I am blessed to talk about. And I'm exhausted from all that.
Dude,
and
you're
I
too
love
blessed
talking about
to be stressed,
what
brother.
What I don't want is I have to do this silly company meeting right now where I got to hear somebody in the other room talk about how things are a-changing because he's taking over. And I'm not going to lie. I'm a little tired.
What's that? They're broadcasting our show on the main TV right now there? Oh.
Look, Elon's a wacko for a lot of things. But one thing I agree with him on, meetings, for the most part, are a waste of time.
Meetings are a waste of time. Well, unfortunately, I think
we could bring that up in the meeting.
Yeah, we could use a little more meetings with certain things going on in our capital.
Sam,
building.
You're in your bag. Can we doge this place a little more?
Oh,
yeah. We got doged actually like a year and a half ago in the summer.
What do we got? Sam, you want to go? Carter?
Yeah, so whatever, like, protective padding that Steph's been wearing, can we get that for everybody on the Warriors just as, like, a preventative measure?
A diaper?
Something, whatever they're called, the glute guard, the pelvic protector, the pooper protector, I don't care what you want to call it. Just get everyone outfitted with these things, because I am tired of guys on the Warriors going down and banging their booty bone and being done for a day or two. So let's get some protection for our Warriors, right?
I want to bang your booty bone.
Oh, don't,
what was
don't
that?
Google search any of
what
those terms.
Was that?
That's NSFW. That's NSF Lubman right there. What's up, Carter?
My final thought's a little more G-rated than that.
please don't go Shannon Sharp on me, please.
Listen, anyone saying that game was too physical, that's soft. That game was perfect.
Thank you.
That was an NBA playoff game at its finest, and that's what the league wants for all 82, but that's just not going to happen. My second thought on that is I'd really like to see Steph Curry add one thing to his game, which is he's getting held the whole time. We all know that. Like, show the refs that. Throw your hands up. Do what you need to do get the call. Like, I need him to do more of that to get these calls because it makes a huge difference. Get him in the bonus.
I think they were in the bonus.
Yeah, but you're missing so many calls still. You're getting in the bonus with 8 minutes left.
I hear you, but they're not calling
out every single
possession.
How many calls is enough for Warrior fans?
I know, right? Right? They got the calls yesterday still. Like, the calls were pretty much even. Again, if Steph says it was less physical than game one, I'm going to believe Steph. I'm just going to do what
Steph...
In
the words of my wife, Joe, it's never enough.
I'm just going to do what Steph wants me to do. That's all I know. All right?
I'm just going to do what Steph wants me to do now.
And that was Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity at Home. We're on the go. You get the fastest internet to all your devices. Steiny and Guru coming up next. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Steiny lives for days like today.
On 95.7 The Game.